Hello, fellow coders. Happy day to you, wherever you are in the world. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for joining us for another VS Code live event. This is the launch party for version 1.57 or the May 2021. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, I didn't see a release go out yet. That's because you're getting a sneak peek at the upcoming release. It may even be released while we're live. We don't know. We'll see. But you get a sneak peek at that, and you're welcome to be here to see some of the cool features that are going to be coming out directly from the VS Code team. The folks that work on your favorite editor are going to be here to present some of those features in this release. But before we get into that, quick couple of reminders. This is about 30 minutes long session. If you haven't been to one of these before, we go through a couple of the features. You can ask questions live to the presenters, and I'll do my best to relay them and have the presenters answer those for you. Also, they're recorded. So if you miss it, you can't stay for the whole thing, or you want to go back and reference something and show a friend, a coworker, they are recorded. They'll be up on the VS Code YouTube account, youtube.com/code. In addition to that, the VS Code team is on TikTok. Yes, that's right. I said TikTok. It's at VS Code. There's a lot of fun going on there. It's very educational. You might find it helpful to be hanging out with us over there. So check that out as well. And last but not least, if you want reminders for these events, if you go over to meetup.com, you can join the group there and get the calendar invites and that kind of stuff so that you never forget about a live VS Code event. We have a lot of them going on, not just for the launch party. So be sure to check those out. All right. Without further ado, let's jump into our first presentation for the event today. First up, we have Harold, who's going to be showing us getting started walkthrough. Now, Harold, getting started. Are we going to go back to the beginning? What's happening with this?
What yes, this is all about the beginning. We've been working on this forever. A lot of people might have seen it already rolling out. This is finally a time where I can talk about it and go through what we've thought about. It's really about the first day, the first week within VS Code and how we can make that easier. So we've been, as I said, this is going on. The issue I'm sharing is September 14, 2020. And we went through a lot of iterations on what is this experience? What is the experience where you have a friend sitting next to you that knows VS Code, that gives you all the best tips and tricks, all the best customizations to make VS Code really the sweetest setup for what you need and for the level that you're at? You might be an experienced developer that's switching from another IDE. You might be a student on their first project. And that's really about giving you the tour, giving you like making it easy to customize if you have accessibility needs, getting you high contrast, getting you the right languages, getting you into the command palette, which is one of the most important things we think to get everything out of VS Code. So what we ended up with, let me show you what we got. So this was the before. This was the welcome page that opened up in VS Code. It had a lot of things added over time. It's just very dense when we saw this in user testing. People don't really use much of it. I think most of us returning, open new file, go into the recents folder. And the things on the right are kind of, they're cool there, but that's where we started to clean up. So what we came up with is this new getting started page, which gives you the old feel of the welcome page, but gives us a lot more room to be dynamic, to be interesting, to like really shape it up to what user needs at the moment. The first tour is get started with VS Code. That's what new users see up front and has the basics in there, switching color theme, if you like a light and dark theme, or go high contrast, or see all the others. We want to really upfront show all the languages that VS Code has, that VS Code shines with. So people can tell us upfront which languages to use so we can early on customize the experience. VS Code is really good at working out of the box for a lot of different use cases. You can switch between use cases from deployment and testing in VS Code. But this makes it a lot easier to bring a lot of these decisions, this setup, you install Python, you make sure your environment works, all of this up front and not as you start coding. So this opens search. Of course, we want to teach the command palette and get users into that to make the most out of VS Code and then get you into your code by picking a folder. The next sections are also similar. This is to learn the fundamentals. And as you complete them, you see your progress and see if you missed anything. Maybe you don't want to complete anything in there, and I'm complete with that, so you can also remove those as you go and finish them. If you want to have them back later on, you can go into the configuration and actually bring them back. So if you feel like you still want to make sure you missed nothing, then you can go back. The fundamentals go through a terminal, the playground where you can try out IntelliSense, more extensions that are based on your system and your workplace, introduction to settings and setting sync. And then we also link to the videos that we just recently all updated. Then the last one is kind of the last tips and tricks, like site-by-site view using Git, customizing the shortcuts, like all the power tools that make it easier on a day-to-day to get more out of VS Code. So that was kind of the early cycles we had. And then as you remove these and finish them, you will also get your space back. What we also did, I'll bring at least a few back because I really liked them. What we also did, we worked on the same aspects for extensions. So the C++ extension is actually the first one who's using Getting Started to onboard users as well. So it guides you through installing, checking for a C++ compiler. It allows you to open your project folder to really get into the project, and then gives you an idea, like, for this project now, configure IntelliSense, running debug your C++ file, everything you need to get set up there, and install the right tools depending on what you have installed in your project, and then also they edit the video. So there is an area now where the extensions can use the onboarding VS Code has, and it's highly contextual. It looks at what the user already did. It looks at the project the user has opened, so you can really customize it to the needs. So if you don't have yet Git installed, it will guide you through the installation of Git and a few other things. So it's much more contextual than just open a page and say, welcome to my project, and then go into it now. Like, you can do all of this, but we want to start at where the user is at. So that's my demo getting started, but hopefully there's a lot of feedback from people. We saw the biggest insight we had was that people who came back from VS Code who have been using it for a while even found a ton of value, because we know a lot of people kind of scratch the surface of VS Code. They just want to, they use the basics, they use what they're happy with, and they're still looking for like the things they can unlock next to make them a little bit more professional, more productive with VS Code.
Yeah, this is really excellent to see, Harold. And this is kind of near and dear to my heart, because I tend to focus on helping folks that are newcomers to programming. So making that on-ramp a little bit smoother through this getting started stuff is fantastic to see. So thank you to you and the team for all that. So I know you mentioned a little bit about extensions there. With all the API changes and the new design, how can other extension authors get started, like, contributing to this whole new space?
Yeah, it's coming. So we have already added, thanks to Jackson, we already have in the VS Code extension samples repo, where you can find every API that extensions can use being exposed and documented with examples. There's already a very simple example that's calling out. So the great part about it is it's all statically done within the package of JSON. So you had a walkthrough basic item to your package, and that describes what the walkthrough looks like. You had some images, you had the events that are supposed to fire. So it's a no-code solution to get that in.
Nice, that's great to hear. And so with all this going on, what might be next? What's in store for this in the future?
So we have a lot of ideas around what else we can put into this page that kind of is your welcome door to VS Code. And we were looking at more patterns. So with Getting Started, we saw a lot of kind of extensions opening more and more tabs as you install them and use them to kind of guide users along the ways, which caused some kind of noise. The other noise we see is as extensions update, they want to show release notes, which is important, especially like as you add new features, want to make sure people are aware. But that's also causing some noise. Like if you haven't used VS Code for a while and you load it up, a few extensions will actually come in and say, hello, like, here's an update. Like, you might not actually need it right now because you haven't used VS Code for a while and you don't care. But so we want to make that experience better, especially as we know how users come to VS Code, we can highlight those extensions better. So there's some ongoing UX exploration into what's new, and then also some ongoing exploration how we can expose new project creation within that top left. So the Java extension, for example, has a Java project bootstrapping, which lets you pick the tools for your Java project and then creates a folder for you. We're looking to do the same for TypeScript, which helps set up for the config, and the C++ extension, also looking for that. So how can we expose this kind of rich ecosystem of CLI tools that lets you create a project folder and be productive from the time, how can we expose that within VS Code as well? So that's the big areas. It's new project, new file creation, and release notes.
Nice. That's very exciting. I'm looking forward to all that. Thank you so much, Harold.
Happy to present.
All right, folks, next up, we have Steven and Lad, who are going to be talking about workspace trust. Hello, Steven.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Awesome. Workspace trust is a new feature that we've been also working on for quite some time. It's a security feature. So I first want to just mention kind of why we think it's important. So there's a lot of attacks out there these days against developers. You know, people share code all the time online. With their friends or just strangers, and you download it and you open it up. And these kind of attacks, it's getting more popular to attack developers so they can get credentials to corporate access or whatever, whatever you have. So there's as was mentioned in the getting started, VS Code has a lot of productive features, and these can actually be leveraged by carefully crafted repositories that are shared with you to expose vulnerabilities in VS Code or are on your machine. And so that's why we're working on this feature. So we saw that as a problem that we wanted to solve. And the other thing is extension authors and also needed a solution for this because extensions are providing these features as well. So that's kind of the high level. But it really boils down to what is the feature? It's a simple question. And we want to ask, we want to give users the power to answer this question, which is, do you believe that the code that you open in VS Code is safe, and is it possibly trying to harm you in any way? Mm-hmm. So we asked that question from like the author's perspective. We asked like, where did you get it from? Do you trust that person? That's kind of the basics. So let me make that more concrete by actually sharing what that looks like in VS Code.
Okay, sounds good. What if I don't trust my own code, Steven?
I think you're you can always use VS Code in restricted mode, which I'll share, and you can do that with your own code as well. There's still a lot of features, even if you don't trust trust what you have open.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that.
In fact, you'll see I actually downloaded some of your code and I put it in my untrusted folder for this demo. Oh. So you'll get to see that in action. So first, here's VS Code. I hope you can see my screen here.
We do not just yet. So hold on just a second.
Yep.
You're not sharing your screen with us yet in the.
Second. How about?
You weren't ready to trust this to share your screen. That's what was going on. Right? Yeah.
Can you see now?
Yes, now we see it. Go ahead.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So here's the VS Code out of the box. This is a private build of 1.5.7 actually. So, and you can see this is the getting started that was just shown to you. And I've already opened a few repositories. So VS Code 1.5.7, if you just get it straight from, you know, it's brand new, it looks pretty similar. There's not much has changed. But I'm going to immediately go to the workspace trust feature here, which you can get to from the gear. We've added an entry down here where you can manage how this feature works. This is the best resource inside of VS Code to learn about what the feature is. And you'll see that Workspace Trust introduces two modes to VS Code. One is the trusted window, workspace, or folder on the left, and that's what it's in right now, and that's why everything works as it does today. But then the other option here is the restricted mode, and that's the mode if you don't trust what you have open. And in that case, we can see this is an empty window, which doesn't have a folder open, but even in this mode, with an empty window, we will disable tasks, we'll disable debugging, and extensions will be notified that you don't trust what's open, so that they will actually either be disabled, depending on what they're doing, or limit functionality. And that's up to the extension author itself to decide how they act in these windows. So quickly, I will show that if I open some folder here, or some file, so I'll pick something from your untrusted content. This is a full file that I have on my disk that I haven't told VS Code that I trust yet, and I'm in a trusted window. And so it's going to let me know that, hey, you're in an untrusted window, and by bringing this content in, extensions that are running that think that everything is trusted will possibly run automatic code in the background to provide you good features. And you want to be aware of that. So I have the option to open that, or I can open it in a restricted mode. And I'm going to open it just because I can here. And so this is something that Brian's code, and I trust it a little bit, but so that's why I let it open here. But I just want to show you that prompt. That's one way you might see the feature surface. I'm now going to switch to restricted mode just to show you that, what that looks like. When you're in restricted mode, these things are taking effect over here that I mentioned before. I have a little banner up here that's reminding me that I am in restricted mode. It tells me that it's intended for safe code browsing. This is kind of what you would want to do if you opened a random stranger's repository on your machine. You would want to open in restricted mode first and then possibly trust it after you've inspected it, or maybe you do decide that you do trust this source after you get to know the source a little bit better. And so that's kind of a lot of people will use VS Code this way. They open VS Code and they just open random files, and that's how you can manage things. You can switch between modes in this editor here, and you can open random files and decide how you want to do things. Now I just want to show the next major way that people use VS Code, which is opening a folder or a workspace. And so I will open this blog starter app that I made. It's just the Vercel one. But whenever you open a folder for the first time in VS Code with workspace trust enabled, you'll actually get a similar prompt that we saw before, asking me whether I trust the authors of these files. In fact, I made this repository, but it was made from an NPM module, so I have to think whether I trust Vercel. And in this case, I do, which is why it's in the trusted folder that I set up for this demo. So I'll click yes, and you'll see again, everything's working as it is. Let's say I didn't actually trust it. If I didn't do that, then I could come back here, and I can click don't trust. And look, I'm back in restricted mode. It's best to do the opposite direction, not go from restricted to trusted, not trusted to restricted, because by that point, things have already run possibly. Some of the automatic features. But another thing I wanted to show here is that whenever I am in restricted mode, if I click these links in the editor here, I can get a little bit more information. So first I've clicked the settings one, which will show me that workspace settings. These are the settings that that might be potentially dangerous to set, and they can be set by the workspace in the .vs code folder. They could be malicious. We actually will not honor them in the restricted mode. And that's nice for you, and it's also nice for extensions, because if you're an extension author, you don't have to worry about this. If you try to read the setting, you will get the good value, or the safe value, which is the one the user set. And we also have over here the workspace unsupported extensions. This is the extensions that are actually going to be disabled. You'll see out of the box, we don't have any extensions that are disabled in a restricted mode. But we do have some that are limited. And if you hover over this little shield, this fancy shield here, it'll actually give you a little, I don't know if the screen sharing is showing the little tooltip, but a little tooltip comes up and says that this extension executes tasks which are require trust to run. So in that case, this extension does have some limitations, but it does work still. And that's good, because a lot of these, most of the features do work. So it's still good to have. Yeah, so that's I'm about almost out of time, and I wanted to show one last thing, how you manage your trust. This list down here is a way you can kind of set your machine up in a way to avoid, you know, prompting so much. Once you know, you'll see I've actually set up a directory structure here where all my source is in here, and I've got a trusted folder and untrusted folder. And if I just clone everything into the trusted folder, I don't want VS Code to ask me about that anymore. And then I can clone things I don't trust in the untrusted folder, in which case it will ask. Or I can tell it not to with a setting that you can find out in our documentation. But I'll say trust this folder, and you'll see now that this folder is trusted in the list, and the repository that I have that is under that folder is now trusted. So I think that's about, there's a lot to cover here, but we don't have a bunch of time, so I think I'll cut this here. If you want to learn more, there is a link in the editor here. It's aka.ms/VSCodeWorkspaceTrust, but like I said, it will be in the editor. You can click it. It'll also be at any of the dialogues you see. There'll be a link to the docs. It's a pretty comprehensive set of documentation there, and have a read through that.
Yeah, and you know, Stephen, as somebody that's admittedly paranoid, This is very encouraging to see a feature like this getting rolled into VS Code. And yeah, so thank you to you and the team for working on this and helping keep us safe as developers, especially as beginners, right? Like we were just talking about before with Harold, people that are getting started jumping into VS Code for the first time. This is going to help protect them a little bit, right?
Yep, I hope so.
Yes. So for the sake of time, we're going to move over to the next demo. So thank you so much, Steven. Appreciate that. And for folks, if you want to find out more, there's going to be extensive docs that will be up on at code.visualstudio.com. You can check out for more of the trusted workspace work that Steven and team are doing. Next up, we have Connor, who's going to be talking to us about the new testing API. Hey, Connor. You're on mute, my friend.
Yeah, of course. Like, you can't have a stream without someone being stuck on mute. Right. Yeah. So, like, good morning, good afternoon. So, yeah, the past like few months in VS Code, we've been working on a native testing experience, and like this is basically building a UI to help you like run your unit tests, your integration tests. Often, especially if you're doing like Node.js or something, you're probably running these on the command line. But like we wanted to have kind of an official UI for this, and this has existed in extensions before, but just due to the extensions API and what we allow them to hook into, yes, does kind of have a limited experience, and so we wanted to bring testing into the core of VS Code to get some of that testing have more features and give a richer experience to users. So I can go ahead and show some of what I'm talking about.
Sounds good.
Go ahead and share my screen. I also only have one window, so I can't tell when it's sharing. There we go.
No, we're good. We see.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So here I'm actually in the Git repo for VS Code itself.
So Connor, just a heads up, see the StreamYard
View.
I need to share a different one.
Yeah, I thought I shared my screen. Let's try sharing my whole window.
Everyone gets to see the behind the scenes, the production. All
right, and now can you see my VS Code window?
Yes, now we do.
All right, excellent. Take it away. Yep. Yeah, so like here I'm in the VS Code repo. So actually for the past couple months, we've had a test extension for VS Code itself that we've been using to like run tests in VS Code. So it's called the self-host test runner. And I'm using this just because this is kind of the like most complete a runner that exists today. So the first thing you'll notice that I'm in this test file. So we have these new gutter decorations. And so, like, unlike most decorations that extensions can actually contribute, these are clickable. So if I wanted to like run tests, I can go ahead and click on those. And then you'll see shortly that this test should pass, and you get that a nice little checkbox.
Nice.
Also, of course, we have an Explorer UI for actually seeing all these tests. So in VS Code, we have quite a few tests, as you can see. Like as a native feature, we can actually do like several things that just as an extension we couldn't. And so say I didn't want to care about all these tests, I can filter first of all like by text, so I can look for maybe my test result service and then only find tests and files that have that in their name. Also, I have the option to simply only show the tests in my current file if I wanted to like just navigate what I'm looking at right now, which actually for me is what I normally do in VS Code, and you can see again the states reflected there. Also, going into like more deeply what we can do as a native extension, or as a like native component rather than just an extension, is that we can actually provide some very rich support for like output diffing. And so, say I have here a test that's going to fail, and then like this assertion's going to fail, and this is like an array here. So if I go ahead and run this, then you'll see when it fails, we actually pop up a diff peak here. So like you can actually see like the full kind of like output of what's being expected there, as well as a diff editor inline here showing you exactly what went wrong here. And also if I wanted to like dig further into the results, you can actually go here and then open the raw output from like that test run. And so like here you see what basically the command line outputted when I ran this. So you can see here having the rich diff support it's a whole lot easier to see like what exactly like my assertion failed with than if I just was looking at the command line here, where I have a very limited view of like what went wrong, and I have to kind of figure out like, okay, I have an object here, I have like an ellipses here, but inside VS Code, we can actually like show you the like better UI and the more full experience. And then say, I fix this here. I forgot what, all right, that should be AAA. And then I fix this. Then I can actually just like rerun the test right from here. And then I think I might've, oh, there it goes. And then it should be rerunning. And then now it should pass, which I think I hit it multiple times. So it's running two tests. And there we go. We see it passed. So that's a few of the like new things with the test experience. So this is kind of the like self-host experience in VS Code, but obviously like you probably aren't as a user developing in VS Code itself. So like you have Mocha tests, you have like tests in Go or Python or and so on. So like we actually did some work to integrate with the Test Explorer UI extension. And so this is a very popular extension that like the community like has been using to have a Test Explorer experience inside of VS Code. So like what you can do, I can actually pull up here. I have a project using Mocha. And so like here, like you can see this is the Test Explorer, like a UI extension here. What you can see is a bit different experience from native testing. It doesn't have filters and also doesn't have the like rich diffing support and so on, and doesn't provide decorations here either. And so there's now a new setting that will start working with this release, and that is setting Test Explorer use native testing. And then when this is turned on, this will actually cause kind of the Test Explorer UI extension to redirect to the native testing APIs. So if I click this, then you'll see that we just like swapped over to the native testing APIs, and then like you have the kind of full experience that you had. You have your decorations, and so on. You can like go through. You can like debug tests and so on, and like that all works like as you would expect. Now, because it only converts from the existing Test Explorer UI, it doesn't have the full set of features that a native testing does out of the box. For example, that there isn't support for the kind of like rich diffing that I showed, just because the existing Test Explorer UI like APIs didn't provide any means for those plugins to provide diffs, because they couldn't actually have any UI for that. I encourage you that if you're like using the Test Explorer UI extension, please turn on that setting and try out the new experience and let us know what you think. If you have any like feature requests or suggestions, I feel free to open those on VS Code. At some point, like this will actually be the default, once you're feeling like more confident in the experience. And then also other extensions like Java and Python currently have their own a testing UI like made just for Python or Java, and we're actually like working with them hopefully this month to have them start moving on to the native experience as well, and provide all the fancy new features for those languages. So
very nice. And I really want to say I appreciate that approach to these types of features when making it opt-in, you know, that capability, and not necessarily making it default right off the bat like that. So thank you to you and the team taking that approach with that. So some questions for you, Connor, if you will. Yeah. Okay. So with testing, a lot of times, like, it's one thing to run the test and see that it passes. And I love that gutter view that you have in there. What about code coverage? Is that supported or coming as part of this?
So it's not here today, but like that's definitely something that I'm interested in exploring, like I'll go over like next few months. I think that'll be interesting, especially because that's an opportunity to do some like deeper like integration in the editor, which today like as an extension you can have decorations, but I'll go like it'd be interesting as kind of a core component to be able to dive into to richer experiences there. And it's definitely something that's going to be coming down the pipeline soon. So
nice. That's good to hear. One more question for you. Another thing that's commonplace, I think a little bit, or becoming more commonplace, is using source control with code, right? And in particular, GitHub. And a lot of times with GitHub, you might use something like GitHub Actions or some type of CI/CD pipeline approach to run your tests. So is this going to be, will this work right now with GitHub Actions and stuff like that?
Yeah. So it's actually something that we were considering when we designed the API. So we want to actually have integration with a GitHub Actions or your remote CI inside of the UI itself. And so you could actually see, for example, the test run going on in GitHub Actions from your editor, as well as obviously import the results and then see any failures or results inside the editor. And so that's something that it'll probably be implemented by different extensions, because you have different formats for the output, because you'd be getting a Clover output or some other JUnit, for example, test output format from your tests, and then you'd be able to open those and then import them in VS Code. So far we haven't talked about whether that'd be first party extension or not, but the points are definitely there for people to build that kind of experience in VS Code, and something that I would love to have personally. So
nice. That's good to hear. And last question, but not least, and this might be one you've heard before. This is coming from one of our viewers, Paul, in the chat. Thank you, Paul, for your question. What theme are you using, Connor?
Yes. So it is the Code Song theme. This is actually a fork of a theme from Dale Reese, I think. At least that's where I was able to trace the first version of this back to.
Okay.
You can install it from the marketplace. I wish I could say that I could add revenue or something from this, but I don't. So it's totally free. You can go ahead and install it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Connor. It's really awesome to see. And thank you for you and the team and all the work you're doing there. I think we're not going to round up. There's more demand from the viewers. They want more. They want an encore. And who better to bring us an encore than...
what's up? What's going on? I'm Ryan Clark, and I would like to talk to you about remote repositories.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I'm Brian Clark.
Agree to disagree. All right, so go ahead and throw my screen up here. Let's take a look at this. We talked about this on the last stream. I believe, didn't we? We did. And it's insiders. Can everybody see my screen? There we go.
We see it now.
Yeah. Brian. So we're in insiders because, again, you're getting a sneak peek. Only people like myself, Brian Clark, can bring you inside information like this. Nobody else has seen this yet. And the docs aren't even live yet, so I don't have anything to link you to, but they will be in, I don't know, some minutes or give or take. So the remote repositories extension probably won't say insiders when you see it, but just look, make sure the publisher's GitHub, that's what you're looking for. And then once you have that installed, if you click down here in your left-hand corner, you can see this open remote repository, and then you can open a repository directly from GitHub. And then you can just sort of, search filtering on your own repositories for the one you want. Hopefully you type better than I do. Here's one that we could open. And also, if you notice, I've already opened it once. And so it's in my recently opened here. And so let's go ahead and open that. And you can see how fast this opens. And we're just looking at this directly on GitHub. And we can browse through a lot of the code actions that we have still work, like IntelliSense for things fetch. It knows about that. It can complete that. What it does not do is there's no node module. So it doesn't have IntelliSense for use effect, because it doesn't know what that is, right? Because there's no node modules folder, unless you're me 10 years ago checking your node modules folder into GitHub. I used to do that. But what you can do here is you can make changes. So let's make a change to the README here. I don't know. Let's just come down here and make some change. And when you do that, you can see that you have a change over here on the side. Also, I didn't save, and that's not because I have autosave on. It's because it's just saved for you automatically. And then if we take this and stage it right here, update the README, and commit it, that change is now live on GitHub, right? There's no need to push because we're already on GitHub. We're editing the files directly on GitHub. Now, with remote repositories, you can't run the project, right? So if you open a terminal, you just see my local machine. It doesn't have access to this project because the project's on GitHub. So if I actually wanted to work on this, I would need to bring it down to my local machine. So to do that, we click here and say continue working on clone repository locally, and then I can pick a spot for it. I put all of my projects in C:dev. You can judge me for that. That's fine. That's fine. And let's just put it here. I don't know. And then we can, I don't know. Yeah, we would just clone it there. And I've already cloned it there, apparently. I'm cloning it inside of where it was before. And then I can open it locally and continue working on it. So those are remote repositories. I think it's important. Bring the MC back, whoever that guy is. I'm Brian Clark. I don't know who that is. I think it's important here to talk about when you would use this. Like, what is the use case for remote repositories? Obviously, you wouldn't code this way, likely heavy projects, because you're not going to get the full IntelliSense that you would normally get, as we saw. And you don't have things like Prettier because they require a CLI and you have access to a terminal. And so the main use cases for this are you want to browse a project on GitHub, right? GitHub's a great site, but if you're trying to look through a bunch of files, it's not the best experience, although there's some cool browser extensions to help with that. Another one would be that you want to make a quick change. Markdown is especially applicable here. Great way to make and preview Markdown changes. And you can actually do pretty heavy editing for Markdown here as well. And then another one is you want to review a pull request. One of the options that we saw was that you can open a pull request directly. And of course, Visual Studio Code is just going to be a better experience for browsing through and looking at files and changes and diffs and things like that, because it's an editor.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
A lot. Yeah. I'm a huge fan. I mean, I think I did a great job presenting all this.
You did. It was incredible.
Yeah.
What a demo from Brian Clark.
Oh man. We need more Brian Clark. I think
that's, we do. Can we get a third Brian Clark on the stream?
We might have to. I don't, a third, three Brian Clarks might break things though. All right. Question for you, Brian Clark.
Yes.
What happens if I'm working on something like a file and then somebody else maybe changes it before me? How do we do that contest?
Yeah. So in that case, you'll see down here in the status bar, you'll see that you have changes and you can sync them, right? So it kind of works the same way it does locally, where it tells you that things have changed and then you can get in sync before you go ahead and commit. The source control aspect is still there.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Any closing words that you'd like to share with everybody?
Check out my Twitch stream. Everyone watch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Clarkio. Did I get right, Brian Clark?
Yes, you did.
Okay, great.
Get this guy out of here. Nice hat, by the way. I like it.
See ya.
All right, folks, that does it for this VS Code event, or the release party version 1.57. We have a third. Oh my goodness. No. It has to be a snapback. Good try though. As you can tell, we like to have fun here on the VS Code team. And if you like fun, you should check out VS Code on TikTok. Lots of fun happening over there. Crazy antics like this. There you go. As a reminder, if you missed any of this stuff, you didn't get to check it live or watch the whole thing, you go to youtube.com/code. These are all recorded. You can watch the fun stuff. Yeah, right there. Thank you, Brian Clark. And last but not least, join the meetup. So you can get reminders for these events. They're throwing me for a loop here. I'm baffled. But anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. Have a good rest of your day wherever you are in the world. Happy coding. All right.